Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schkop. Today we will examine chapter 40 of the book of Iyov. Hashem's revelation to Iyov through the voice out of the whirlwind was sufficient in and of itself to heal some of his pain, even if it did not solve all his questions. As you may recall, in the beginning of his initial speech, God commanded Iyov to gird his loins. And Rabbi Yosef Karo and Rashi indicate that in so doing, Hashem healed him and simultaneously fulfilled Iyov's oft-repeated plea, succinctly stated in the 13th chapter, Kapcha me'alai harchek, ve'ematcha al tiv'ateini. Withdraw your hand from me, and do not let your fear terrorize me. Hashem appears in these chapters not to debate Iyov, not to terrify him, but to open his eyes. Ramban views the revelation itself as a vindication of Iyov, proving that he is not only Tam v'yashar v'yireh Elokim, but that in his agony, he has risen to the spiritual level of nevuah, meriting prophetic proof of God's existence and of the attentive protection Hashem extends to the righteous people who seek a relationship with their Creator. Malbim adds that this revelation also proves that the human soul is divine in origin and is eternal. Otherwise, it could not commune with the infinite and eternal spirit to which it is akin. Now Iyov knew with certainty that there is life and knowledge beyond the death of the body. In the first response by the voice out of the whirlwind, spanning chapters 38 and 39, Hashem revealed a wondrous world that demonstrates his power and compassion as he reigned in the forces of chaos and formed a harmonious and thriving world on earth, which operates under God's watchful eye by the laws that he embedded in the animate and inanimate beings, and established chok velo yavo, physical and natural law that cannot be breached. However, God did not explain why the conventional doctrines of reward and punishment are sometimes breached, allowing the innocent to suffer and evildoers to prosper. Consequently, as God closes his initial speech, he asks Iyov to respond. But Iyov remains steadfast, silent, as portrayed in the opening verses of chapter 40. Vayan Hashem et Iyov vayomar, Harov im shaka yiso, Mochiach eloka ya'anena, Vayan Iyov et Hashem vayomar, Hen kaloti ma'ashivecha, Yadi samti lemofi. So Hashem answered Iyov and said, will one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who reproves God answer him? Then Job answered Hashem and said, behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand upon my mouth. Iyov is obstinately closed-mouthed, not because of fear of God's wrath, but because he's overwhelmed by the prophetic experience that exposed him to Hashem's unfathomable wisdom and power, while making him fully aware of his own inadequacy and that he had been living in a bottomless chasm of ignorance. Nonetheless, Iyov dares to add an especially audacious comment to to this humble confession. Achat dibarti velo ene, ushtaim velo osif. Once I have spoken, and I will not answer. And twice, and I will add no more. Sfona, among others, sees these words in a positive light and interprets them as Eov's complete submission, admitting that he misjudged, that God allows Rasha v'tovlo, failing to understand that the merciful Creator gives the wicked ample time and opportunity to freely repent by separating sin from any immediate consequences. Secondly, Eov admits and confesses that he had falsely concluded that the world must be run by two competing and incompatible forces who vie for supremacy, the God of light and the God of darkness. But now he has come to learn that all are under the dominion of the one and only Creator, Borei Or v'Choshech, the same Creator who made both the light and the darkness. Accordingly, Hashem's second speech is intended only as a reinforcement of that lesson and a reiteration of Eov's surrender. However, Ibn Ezra and most Pashtanim disagree with this interpretation and point out that Eov refuses to submit and in his silence awaits an answer to explain the suffering of the innocent, the problem that continued to storm in his mind. So God again challenges Eov in verses 6 through 9. Vayan Hashem et Eov min ha-se'ara, vayomar, ezor na kegever chalatzecha, eshalcha vehodieni, ha'af tafer mishpati, tarshieni leman tizdak, ואם זרוע כאל לך, ובכל כמוהו תרעם. Then Hashem spoke to Eov out of the storm. Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall let me know. Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me just to justify yourself? Do you have an arm like God's? And can your voice thunder like his? Hashem does not indict Eov as a wicked man deserving his pain and loss. But he does not contend that just because Eov is a tzaddik, he is allowed to condemn God's reasons, which are beyond human comprehension. As for the proliferation of prospering evildoers, Hashem dares Eov, and by extension all humans, to take responsibility for the breakdown of law and morality in human society. In verses 10 through 14, he challenges them. Adena gaon vegova, vehod vehadar tilbash, hafetz evrot apecha, ure'e kol ge'e vehashpilehu. ראה כל גאה הכניעהו, והדוח רשעים תחתם. תמנם באפר יחד פניהם חבוש בתמון, וגם אני עודקה, כי תושיע לך ימיניך. Adorn yourself with glory and splendor, and clothe yourself in beauty and majesty. Unleash the fury of your wrath. Look at whoever is haughty and abase him. Look at all who are arrogant and humble them. Crush the wicked where they stand. Bury them all in the dust together. Shroud their faces in the hidden grave. Then I too will admit to you that your own right hand can save you. God endowed the human being with the ability to distinguish between good and evil, while freeing him to choose between them, and bestowed upon him intelligence and dominion on earth. Man is empowered to eradicate evil and enforce moral law, and is charged with the responsibility to do so. In the words of David HaMelech in Tehillim 115, Hashamayim shamayim laHashem, v'haaretz natan livnei Adam. The heavens are the heavens of Hashem, but the earth he had given to the children of Adam. Ibn Ezra explains that God appointed mankind to enact divine law on earth as his agents, and if they fail to do so, chaos and corruption will overtake earth. Hashem then offers Iyov the example of two unknown creatures, the Behemoth and the Leviathan, the Leviathan, who represent mysterious and opposing forces operating in the world. Do these beasts have the hidden answers to Iyov's questions? Can they explain the struggle between justice and chaos? Do they symbolize two aspects of God's power in the material world? Do they represent mercy and uncompromising law? The first creature is the mighty Behemoth, created alongside mankind, whose power is unparalleled, as described in verses 16 through 18. Hinena kocho b'motnav, ve'ono b'shririv bitno, yachafot znavo kemo ares, gidei pachadav yisoragu, atzamav afike nechusha, gramav kemetil barzel. Lo now, his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the muscles of his belly. He extends his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his thighs are knit together. His bones are as pipes of brass. His limbs are like bars of iron. Though none but God can vanquish this beast, he proves to be peaceful and friendly, grazing in the mountainous meadows, posing no danger to man or animals. Hureshit darchei el, ha'oso yagesh harbo, kivul harim yis'ulo, v'kol chayat asadeh yisachaku sham. It ranks first among the works of God. Only its maker can approach it with his sword. The hills bring it their produce, and all the wild animals play nearby. Then there is the Leviathan, a powerful and ferocious sea monster traversing the watery depths, who cannot be trapped or caught by the wiliest of fishermen. Timshoch Leviathan bechaka, uvechevel tashkia leshono, hatasim agmon beapo, uvechoach tikov lechyo. Can you pull in Leviathan with a fish hook or tie down its tongue with a rope? Can you put a cord through its nose or pierce its jaw with a hook? It is a fearless creature that fights brutally and mercilessly for its survival and cannot be tamed or subjugated to man's will. Should a man dare to approach it, it will be the last thing he would ever behold, as indicated in the last verse of this chapter. Sim alav kapecha, zechor milchama al tosef. If you lay a hand on it, you will remember the battle and never do it again. The description of the fearsome Leviathan continues in the following chapter, when we will discuss how the commentaries deciphered the symbolism of the two beasts and consider the meaning of Hashem's second speech to Iyov. Thank you for learning with me.
Thank you for studying together. Le'ilui Nishmat,
Rose Forman, Razel Rochel Bat Arya Leib, and for Rachel Zeitlin, Rochel Bat Shlomo, Alehen HaShalom.